Did your world collapse when Ron Paul didn't win? Don't keep hoping for some great man to fix government through government. Complete your evolution today to full-on anarcho-capitalist. Reward your brain with the freedom fiends and quit breaking your heart with some politician. While the libertarians argue,
but who would build the roads?
The freedom fiends have already built the roads and moved on to making the great media content of the libertarian paradise. Freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, a weekly web lab where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati cover the punk rockinist, hip hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com, the Liberty Radio Network, and No Agenda Global Radio.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Distance Learning Anarchy Series with Freedom Fiends Michael W. Dean.
Broadcasting from my windowless bunker.
And Nima Vedati.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
November 6th, 2012. Hello, Nima.
Yeah. Hey, Michael. What's up?
There's something going on today. I kept hearing people talk about it. I don't know what it is, though.
Yeah, you do. It's all over your damn Facebook. That's the most annoying shit. Like, you can't even get away with it. Even if you don't watch the mind-numbing TV.
I'll tell you.
It's all over the internet, man. Everybody, like, even Amazon, like, posted, aren't you happy to have it? Thumbs up if you want your voice heard or some shit like that. I was like, ugh. You used to be cool, Amazon.
I blocked another status today. I thought I blocked all of them, but, like, I posted this thing about that there was a workplace shooting in Fresno today, and I said, my prediction, Monday morning, Obama will sign an executive order heavily regulating ammo and gun sales, which, you know, presumes he's going to win, but we know he's going to win. Scott Horton is smarter than us, and he said Obama's going to win. He's smarter than us with politics. He knows more about that crap than we do.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Although maybe that's a good reason to want Romney to win, because presidents usually wait till their second term to do their most horriblest, evilest things. So
so it would put it off for 4 years.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we should always. That's our only political hope, is to only have one term presidents.
Well, I
honestly don't think that, but it's a funny thought.
I was just kind of doing macho libertarian flash saying this, but then somebody like posted a link about how like last week Obama, you know, secretly or somewhat secretly, quietly said that he's ready to work with the UN on the arms treaty stuff.
I don't know. I kind of feel like that's been creeping up slowly for a while, and I don't know if that's just how these things work or if it's just...
That's been creeping up since the 50s or 60s, man. UN's had that agenda a long time.
Yeah, and that's why I kind of feel like...
The John Birchers were bitching about that in the 60s.
Right, right, right. Well, it's like, you know, back in 2005 or something, Seymour Hersh was like, you know, Iran's going to get bombed, you know, this summer by Israel. And then it's like every year we think it's about to happen, it's about to happen, it's about to happen. It never happens. Maybe it's the same thing with the small arms.
I just want peace, man. And it's like,
yeah,
God, leave me alone. Leave me alone, you people. Statist is someone said a statist is a nice way of saying ignorant slave, and I said no, statist is a nice way of saying ignorant slave who demands that you be an ignorant slave, or at least a slave.
Yeah, I mean, there's varying levels of statist and ignorance, though. I mean, there are some honest statists who have actually thought it out and have come to the alternate conclusion. You know, somebody like Glenn Greenwald or somebody who's like a true leftist and wouldn't vote for Obama because Obama kills people.
Well, I like those.
But still wants the state to control things like the roads.
I have some respect for the Democrats that are bucking the system by pointing out that Obama's bombing brown children at wedding parties.
I wouldn't even call them Democrats, though. I wouldn't call them Democrats because if they really are honest about it and feel that way, then they're not going to vote
Democrats. Liberals. Yeah.
So yeah, I wouldn't call them Democrats.
Well, speaking of, you know, I mean, I have an
or socialist or whatever.
I have an appointment tomorrow. You know, Robin Kerner is one of those people, and he's my second favorite statist. My first favorite statist is Ron Paul. My second is Robin Kerner of. Was it Democrats for Ron Paul?
What are we 100% sure? No, it's Blue Republican. But are we 100% sure that he's a statist? Is he just, you know.
He's into voting. That's statism.
Is he?
I mean, it's, you know, it's not just his theater. But
I wasn't sure on that, if that was just a strategy thing because he thought he had hopes in Ron Paul. And now he's, you know. Because sometimes I feel like Ron Paul, you know, Ron Paul probably would say, yeah, go out and vote or whatever. Yeah. But probably just because he's a politician. You know, I think he's a closet anarchist. I kind of think maybe Robin Kerner's that too. I don't know. Maybe you should grill him on it and see what he really feels like. Now that the election's going to be over,
I mean,
when you
come
talk
on,
to him.
Man. You know that 6 months ago I made an appointment to do an interview with Robin Kerner tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I reminded him of it 3 days ago. He said, send me an email today. And I did. And it's on. And, you know, because I have this theory that the really smart, small government statist Ron Paul supporters, if they're really smart, like, midnight tonight, they're going to turn into anarcho-capitalists. So I want to interview my second favorite. I can't get Ron Paul
Cinderella
on the phone.
Style.
Yeah. The magic, the slipper won't fit anymore. So you know what the name of this episode is? And it is, this is the most important podcast episode of our lifetime, of everyone's lifetimes.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, this one's called, If Voting Changed Anything, It Would Get You Droned. Explain why that's true.
It's your title. You explain it.
I mean, does it need explanation? There might be people listening for the first time.
Yeah.
Explain why if voting changed anything, it would be illegal, and why you think I said it would get you droned.
Well, I think that's machismo libertarian flash, too. Of course it is.
So, you know, really, I thought about, so was saying, I didn't help my teenage neighbor on the ladder and figured I'd let him fall because he was wearing an Obama shirt.
It was.
You know, that wasn't even really the whole thing. It was kind of like he was getting down off the ladder. I mean, I should, when I see him, say, you know, if you ever want to go up on the ladder and there's no one else around, I'll come hold the ladder for you. I will next time I see him. Yeah. And, you know, I think he just doesn't know. I mean, people go, oh, there's a ladder in this house. I mean, there's subletting. There's a ladder there from the people that own it. And he's like, oh, well, yeah. I need to get up on a ladder. And it's like, there's a really basic thing about a ladder is you have someone hold it. So I'll just tell him
well,
that.
Here's what I'll go on. You know, everybody's like, this is your voice. Voting's your voice. It's your chance to make your voice heard. Just pause for a minute and think about how dumb that is. How many times do you use your voice and you only have a choice of two or three or four things to say?
Yeah.
Like, is that a real voice if you're only allowed to say two or three things? That's not a frickin' voice, man. That's a ridiculous gun to your head, choose one or the other kind of thing. Like I grabbed my cat and was holding him and he was all like, like, let me go. And I was like, all right, I'll let you vote. You can be in my arms or you can be held in my wife's arms. Which do you want, cat?
Neither.
You
know, none of the above.
Neither, right. Want to run away and go to the top of the cat tree
and lick
is
his
what
butthole.
The cat was thinking.
Lick
yeah,
his butthole.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, so I mean, even the, I heard someone talking, I think it was Scott Horton maybe, talking about how, like, even, what is it when they ask you who you want to vote for? When they ask a bunch of people that?
A poll.
Polls are being changed to like have a dichotomy. There used to be like three or four or five choices or none of the above in polls, but now they're like, who are you going to vote for, Romney or Obama? You know, there's and like, you know, when do you want Obama ran, now or next year, you know?
right.
And explain okay, we're going to get into why you got some stuff to say about Iran, but I wanted to say I had this thought, it's connected to the voting thing, but you know, the government bitches a lot about conspiracy theories. I mean, that was like the Ass Sunstein, you know, Cass Sunstein did this whole thing on conspiracy theories and how to block them on the internet.
And one of the goals was to make up our own government conspiracy theories and disseminate them to discredit other conspiracy theories.
And I was thinking of a couple things. One is, I use the word conspiracy theory now for when like the Department of Justice or some state attorney tries to get a bunch of people who are not doing anything illegal, who are just acting like people interacting, and charge them with a conspiracy. You know, when like three people are dealing weed and they know each other and they talk on the phone, they try to add conspiracy charges to that. So the government is, you know, it's all about conspiracy theories.
Yeah. Yeah.
The second thing is, I was thinking that a lot of what the government does, if it weren't public knowledge, you know, either from them making it public or us it getting leaked somehow, we would think it was conspiracy theories. Think about drones, okay? If the government wasn't bragging about drones and somebody did a website saying, you know, General Electric and a few and Grumman, Winthrop Northrop. Or whatever, Northrop, you know, have conspired with the U.S. government to make these 8-foot-long planes that fly so high you can't see them, and they can read the brand of cigarette on your cigarette when you're walking down the street, and they're constantly flying overhead. That would seem like a fucking conspiracy theory.
Yeah,
I really think it would. And
the thing is, it's a conspiracy anyway, because a conspiracy is when people agree and talk about and plan on how to steal your money, rob you, kill you, etc. And isn't that all the government does? I mean, isn't that what Congress is? When Congress meets, that's a conspiracy.
I was thinking even if you're a small government person or a statist, a full-on, you know, big government person, there are things in the Constitution that if they weren't in the Constitution and they were just what the government did and they weren't public knowledge, would seem like a conspiracy theory. And one of them is the Electoral College. I mean, if you think about, like, you know, okay, everybody voted for this one guy, but this other guy's going to win because there's this weird math problem that's 190 years old. Wouldn't that seem like a conspiracy theory to you?
Yeah, man, it would. But, you know, when people are taught a lie enough and they just don't question it any further. And I think that that's what's going on. Like at work the other day, I tried to explain how the social contract, you know, a social contract, an example of one is slavery. You know, it's a contract that you're party to by virtue of you being born.
That, man.
Well, some people were like, oh, yeah, wow. Other people were like, no, that's crazy. You know, one of them, I think he's a pretty honest kind of statist. And he was like, well, you know, you can't compare the two because, you know, slavery didn't offer anybody anything, any benefits. You didn't get to reap any benefits.
Sure,
you know?
It did. And they fed the slaves. They housed them.
Right. That's what I was going to say, because he was like, what about the road you just drove here on? And I was like, come on, man. And you know, we didn't get to finish it because it's at work. And, you know, we actually had work to do after that. But yeah, you're right. The answer would have been, you know, the same argument could have been made by the slave owners.
They probably
I provide you a bed. I provide you housing. I provide you food.
They probably gave them basic medical care, too, if they were smart investors. You know,
they had like an incentive.
A sick, dying slave.
Right? Yeah, slaves you take cost, care of what you own.
Slaves cost like $600 back then for a good strong young buck, and that was a lot of friggin' money in, you know, 1790. That was like probably, you know, $50,000, $30,000. You know, if taking your slave to the doctor and paying the doctor $5 to like try to help him, you're gonna do that instead of go like, buy like, another one,
like getting your oil change, right? It's about the investment of a car. You're gonna take care of it.
You should have told the guy that. Next time you see him, tell him that, and then he'll just slap you.
Well, that's part of the problem with having these discussions at work is, you know, then a run comes up and you gotta run fast to go get
it. Well,
you
they know, get to like, mull it
stop
over for
mid-place.
A while. You know, I really think that the like explaining the gun to the head to people is just this little factoid that's the basis of all liberty thought. You know, that all laws are enforced at the barrel of a gun, all taxes are collected at the barrel of a gun. You know, 51% tyrannizes 49%. That's democracy. I mean, those three things you can explain to someone in under 60 seconds. And if they're kind of smart and they mull it over, they're going to go, whoa, you know, a couple days or hours or weeks later.
Every time I've explained that, people tend to get it. But it's people who like balk at me at first. Like, what? There was no gun to your head on April 15th kind of a thing.
There would be like, you know, June 15th if you didn't pay your tax. It'd take a little longer than that. But, you know, if you don't pay your taxes, you can explain how it progresses.
Right. You have to go through the progression of it. Yeah. There might not have been one physically in my face, but the gun was implied. It's implicit in the transaction.
Yeah. And, you know, when Nancy Pelosi was asked how the individual mandate will be enforced, she said, we'll have to wait until we sign the bill to read it. And but also, you know, she did kind of hint at it. Like somebody said, okay, this is going to be a law. How's this going to be enforced and what will happen to people who don't, you know, are you going to jail people who don't comply? And she's like, of course not. And I'm thinking like, well, then it's not a law. It's a suggestion, but she's lying. So
she is lying.
You know, and yeah. They just hired what, like how many thousand new IRS agents and armed them with 40 cal Glocks?
Well, here's the thing. Honest men have no recourse in the government system. Like if you have an honest beef with what the government's doing to you, which, you know, me, I have a beef with everything they do to me because it's all involuntary. There's no real around socially accepted right now to dispute it. I mean, yeah, you could sue the government or you could go to court, but if it's something like, I don't believe I pay you taxes, the government judge is gonna laugh in your face.
I think the closest
I've seen
to any one person having had a successful recourse, it was Ron Paul. And you know, there's people who are gonna say he was a failure, he didn't win, he didn't come near. Well, he educated a lot of people, and I think the only way he could have done it was the way he did it, which, and I don't think he's even pretending to believe in the system. I think he was convinced himself of it, and I think at some point he's going to come out as a full-on anarcho-capitalist, and people are going to say statists will say sour grapes, man. But
yeah, I kind of feel that way too, and I've said that before on the cast. I just think it's hard to be best friends with Lou Rockwell and not be an anarcho-capitalist, right?
Yeah. Lou Rockwell's not best friends with me, man. He ignores everything I send him.
yeah, what was that friend of his said? A bit too starchy for that.
Yeah,
Obama's feet sting video.
There's a guy that's a writer for an occasional writer for that site, Lou Rockwell, and I sent him our Obama's feet stink rap video and said, "Can you get this? You know, can you blog about this on Lou Rockwell?" And he looked at it and he's like, "I like it, but it's a little too starchy for Lou." And I said,
"No, Lou's a little too starchy for it." I mean, Obama's feet stink isn't starchy; it's proteiny.
Right, lots
of smells going on there.
And I wrote back and lots of aromatic spices. And I wrote back and said, I sent him the link where Lou Rockwell blogged your "I Own Me" video and said, "Hey, Mr. Starchy likes this rapper." And then the guy said, "Oh, I'm too busy. I got family." And I'm like, I'm thinking, you know, that's cool. But in the amount of time it took you to write me these three emails telling me why you couldn't blog it, you could have blogged it. You could have said, "Hey, check out this video," and posted the link, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
People don't do my bidding all the time. It really bugs me.
Well, I think there's levels of how you write on the LRC site. Because there's some people that you'll regularly see blog posts from and barely ever see articles. And there's some people that you'll only see articles from. So maybe he only can do articles.
Lou Rockwell's blogging of your "I Own Me" video was like one line in a link.
It was, yeah, yeah. And yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was a different time back then. It seems like as far as cultural tastes, which are really independent of, you know, political thought or anarchist theory, it's just a flavor that Lou Rockwell is. They seem to be on the jazz tip lately. Like they do a jazz birthday every day, and hey, jazz is great. I don't want to go.
Yeah, I love jazz, but there's no jazz. Is there any like anarcho-libertarian jazz?
They sort of make the argument that the whole thing is kind of freeing, right? That's the argument they make, is that, you know, jazz is free form and it's free, and it was, you know, oppressed by the state, so it was on the opposite end of the state for a lot of its history, and people did it anyway, and you know, jazz helped to spread the thoughts of freedom to other people.
It was illegal practically at one point too. I mean, cops used to go into jazz clubs to bust Negroes for smoking marijuana.
And music has a long history of helping create things, just like punk rock in the Soviet Union, right?
I'd even say jazz, and not even punk rock, man. Music, Western music, was decaying decadent Western music was decaying the Soviet Union's you know, stranglehold before punk rock existed.
And you know, I think hip hop for me in a lot of ways, or rap, certain rappers, that's to me the new kind of freedom movement, because or music, protest music, it's ripe for it, because you know, a lot of the stories are on one end of the drug war, or one end of a black economy, to where the feds are opposing you. And so the state becomes the enemy in a lot of it, which is a really awesome thing. And so that's why I've sort of latched on to that, is what I think is freedom music. And I've said this before, but now that I've got my Newmark NS7, I think I am going to do a thing where I you know, scratch a bunch of samples of different things, different anti-state things that rappers have said. Like one of my favorites is Jay-Z's "Government? Fuck government. People politic themselves."
You're going to have to put the Ghetto Boys Fuck a War in there. You know?
Oh, yeah. The Ghetto Boys Fuck a War. Definitely.
I posted our last episode, and Shaul Newman, however you say it, Shaul Newman reposted it. And some chick that's a friend of his, like, looked at the link, and as is with many people, are too stupid to think, you know, they think that we're posting the video. They don't notice that there's a podcast player at the top and listen here and click here. Uh-huh. Which really, I mean, that comes up so often, it makes me want to never embed videos unless it's really important. But she said, racist video. And I was like, what?
The, you know, Ghetto Boys?
Well, first of all, I thought she didn't even look at the link and just went on, you know, our title, whatever it was, and which was, let's see, what was it? And
I guess you could argue that the Ghetto Boys would be racist. I would say you're
wrong.
Well,
she said they used the N-word too much. Okay, the name of the thing was Good People Don't Steal, Rape, or Kill, Even If They Can Get Away With It. And there was a bend over thing that's a takeoff on the Obama symbol, and but also the Romney, the R. But you know, I thought she was saying, oh, you're making fun of Obama, you're racist, and didn't even click on it to see it's audio, not video. But she explained she clicked on the video and they used the N-word a lot. And I said, those guys are as black as the day is long. You know, if you're thinking that black people can't use the N-word, I think you're racist. And I ended up blocking her. She was just so snitty, man. But, you know, our new seed box is doing really well. And you can get the gun training with the non-aggression principle DVD ISO on there. You can get the guns and weed video. You can get my DIY die movie. You can get every episode of Anarchy Gumbo and every episode of the Freedom Fiends ongoing. And I encourage you to go do that. Go. I just slipped into an ad, didn't I? That's like
you did. Yeah, with no segue. Hannity, you were like Hannity style. You're like you know, the thing is, my seed box is awesome. Check out my movie too.
Yeah, and if you care about politics, you'll go to the Freedom Fiends blog and click on the link that says Torrents, or go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link that says Torrent Club. So anyway, we got this seed box. It's this thing where we pay a lot of money, $17 a month, and it's going to go up to $27 a month in 6 months when we get too much for the 50 gig and we need to upgrade. So someone gave us $140 yesterday, which is the biggest amount we've ever gotten.
Woo!
I don't know if the guy wants me to say his name. If he does, he can write in and I'll say his name next time. But
we love you, man. You're awesome.
Yeah, we love you.
Making the fiends happen.
So, you know, our yearly costs are about $800 right now. And I did a blog post about it. I calculated it 70 something, but I forgot a few things. So I didn't even get a chance to update it. So we need some money. So donate some money if you can. And we don't need money. Yeah. This does not live and die with you. If it comes down to it, I'm going to pay it out of my fucking pocket, but I don't want to pay it out of my fucking pocket. And you know, donations make us happy, and a happy fiend is a productive fiend. So if you want like the happy lip pair, send us money. If you want angry lip pair, don't.
Don't do that, because some people be like, yeah, I want to hear the angry lip pair. They're awesome when they're angry. Yeah.
They'll start charging
yell
me money.
Yell at me, Michael.
Yeah. Ooh, baby. I like it when you talk angry. But anyway, so yeah, this thing is great, and it's going to help keep us drone proof. So the other thing you can do is, if you don't want to donate money, torrent us. You know, go on the torrent link site, figure out how to do it, download the stuff as it posts to your BitTorrent. So basically, I mean, you don't even have to leave your computer on all the time. Just have it and update it regularly. So like, if we get knocked off the air, if they just take our website and CISPA it, you know, Monday morning when Obama decides that internet and guns are outlawed, you will be able to share this stuff in a way that we can't. And the more people that are doing it, the more bulletproof we are and drone proof we are. So please do that.
Or you could also just pimp us too, you know.
Did you record that ad yet? We have this whole thing in an ad.
Yeah, we do.
You recorded it?
Literally, I've done all the work I can do in all the free time I've had. You woke me up today. When was I supposed to record the ad? While I was taking a dump?
I'm just asking yes or no. Did you record the ad?
No,
You should do it while you're taking a dump. No, I think it's what it is we'll do. When we're done with this, I will go edit the podcast while you're doing the ad. The ad will take you 2 minutes to record, 5 minutes tops. You could do it.
It will, yeah. The music's already done. I spent some time on the music because I wanted it to be cool. So,
all right, let's go sell some stuff and come back and be in a better mood.
All right.
I'm in a great mood, man.
Yeah, me too.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
So the Obama's Feet Stink video has 2,000 views, plus about 500 on Andre's nice. Reblogging of it, and about 170 on my other YouTube account. So, you know, it didn't go viral, but it's doing pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess the way I feel, you know, as long as we're making silly arguments for why one president should be other, which they're all silly arguments because they're the freaking same, you know, it'd be cool if Obama wins because then the video gets to still have legs because Obama's feet will still stink. You know? Yeah, people will still know who he is.
I know. And so, really, like, it's so unimportant to me who wins that I would say I hope Obama wins for the sake of this video.
Of our video, yeah. For our little video. Which isn't it all just little selfish reasons for that, why you want one person to dominate over another person?
I know.
If they do make a little difference. Like you were saying, what was it? You know, you imagine some companies would probably be okay with one person winning when we were talking about regime uncertainty, or the concept that companies may wait to make big business decisions or investments pending the outcome of an election.
Although really big companies donate to both sides, and Microsoft donates to both sides and the Cato Institute. Man, they are covering, you know.
That's hedging, man. That's a hedge fund kind of thing, you know.
It is. It really is.
Bet on black and red in varying amounts so that either way you're not screwed completely.
So there's a couple of libertarian
Wasn't racist. That was a roulette reference. That wasn't,
I didn't even know what you said.
Oh, that wasn't Obama's black and Romney's red.
red and black, yo. Red and yellow, black and yellow. So wait, red and yellow is leftist anarchist. What does black and yellow mean? And what is that song about? Is it about anarcho-capitalism?
The real song? Hell no. No, it's Wiz Khalifa. It's about, I think it's about the Pittsburgh man. He's from Pittsburgh.
Really? Pittsburgh so
it's
Steelers?
Like, it's like a Steelers thing, yeah.
Oh,
it's like a I'm on football players nuts kind of thing.
No,
it's
more
like
the,
that's what we wear.
Take it as the gang colors. Like in Oakland.
I really don't think Wiz Khalifa is much of a gangsta, but I think it's just like it's like a style thing.
Man, he looks like it in the video for that. I mean, it looks like you're at a barbecue where I'd probably get killed for just walking into the wrong house.
Yeah, maybe.
But
all he really raps about is fucking bitches and smoking weed. He never raps about selling weed and shooting people.
But the Oakland's team colors are used as gangwear in Oakland, mm-hmm, I think there's some
all
casinos
over the West Coast, man,
I think
I'm
there's
sure.
casinos in Nevada where they won't let you in if you're black and wearing Oakland A's stuff
or Mexican.
Is it Oakland A's? What's the one that has like the angry pirate and it's gray?
No,
it's
that's,
black
that's
and
the Raiders.
Silver. Yeah,
that's the Raiders,
Oakland Raiders. Man. That's the gang one. That's used by gangs.
Yeah, yeah. Which I don't know why, man. You'd think they'd pick a better team because the Raiders kind of suck.
Well, maybe
they
didn't.
Sucked for
maybe
a while.
Did they when they picked that? I mean, that's been for like 20 years.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah. And, you know, people will cheer for their team even when it's losing. I mean, that's politics. And politics are just gangs, and gangs are just politics.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. So there's a gang of thieves writ large. That's another one I think I need to pull out when I'm talking to statists.
I don't know, though. It's kind of complicated for Joe Sixpack on the street, Joe Pizza Delivery Guy.
It's an easy way to explain to them where you're coming from, because the whole quote is something like, if you want to understand what the government's doing, just imagine it as a gang of thieves writ large.
Well, you know, there's... We are on fire today. I want to compliment us. We are talking all over each other, but it's because we're on fire. You know, you took a good dump. You slept in. How long did you sleep?
I did not sleep in. I went to bed at 6 in the morning, and you woke me up at 12:05. I slept 6 hours, 5 minutes-ish, something like that. I got home early last night, but I DJed in my bedroom, in my office, for like 3 hours. I'm trying to get all my songs queued and the beat grids all set and cue points for the different places I want the songs to be at. So,
because you got to feed your family a DJ 9000.
Yes. You're taking the platters off of my hands, you bastards.
So there's a couple libertarian new things out there. They just keep popping up every week. It's been really cool. I can't even keep up with them, but there's a couple I really like. Well, this one I didn't really check out that much, but there's a new thing called Libertarian Book Club on Facebook that looks interesting if you like long text.
If you like book clubs.
Yeah, I know. But no, I just want to say, if you're like that, check it out. Yeah, I never thought of books as a book reading as a competitive or group activity. You know? It's like, no, I don't want. I've been to a couple salon type things where like writers get together and talk, and it's like, oh my God, I want to leave this and go write. You know, there's this new show called Off the Air Live. It's offtheairlive.com. It's on LRN, and it's a brand new. Says it's a libertarian humor show, but it's really just one guy ranting, and some of it's funny. I mean, we don't call ourselves a humor show, but we're about as funny as this guy, which is pretty funny. You know, he's pretty funny. His name's Cody, and I definitely think people should go check out offtheairlive.com. He's really good, and I really dig his stuff, and I'm going to keep listening.
All right, yeah, I'll add that one to the list.
He's really one of his favorite topics is like, or at least there's only one episode, but and it's a call-in show, but no one called in. It was his first show, but he from the gate, it's a like mature podcast. I mean, that's pretty amazing. Like, you know, when your first episode, but
well,
he's
how
also,
did that happen? I thought you had to have 6 months of, you know, honest archives to be on LRN.
Maybe. I know that's the rule, but actually he's been doing this show on the radio in Maine, I think. I think he's on community radio there. Maybe Ian bypassed that, or maybe it wasn't his first episode, but it sounded like it was. I think he said something about it being that, but
maybe he meant it was just his first on LRN.
On LRN. Okay.
LRN's heartbreaks and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. But if you go to his site, they don't have the heartbreaks in them. So don't go to LRN. No, I'm kidding. But he's on Saturday Nights Live on LRN, and you can call in. But he did a whole thing on his Halloween episode about like talking to your statist friends, and it was really good. And it was like, I mean, he's even more like macho libertarian flash in your face. Don't sound like a fucking dork nerd professor than we are. You know?
Yeah.
He's basically like, you know, don't sit down and say, well, you must obey the non-aggression principle. He's like, tell your friends, you know, to your friends that, you know, go to a party and don't try to preach the non-aggression principle. Go to a party and like compliment people on their weed, and then try to like, you know, get into a little bit of a, you know, hey, you know what I do? I don't fuck with anyone else, and they don't fuck with me. And that's the non-aggression principle and property rights right there. You know, I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that a lot too. Yeah. And that's a good idea too. But, you know, there's different pitches for different crowds.
Yeah.
You know, I was saying, you know, when I was talking about pimping us before we went to a break, that's another thing you could do to help the fiends out and help yourself out in conversations with people is, you know, you can pitch the fiends to your friends who would be fiends worthy or interested in this kind of non-academic, you know, common sense and just tell it like it is kind of a feel. But some people maybe Rothbard is the way to go.
That one book, Anatomy of the State by Rothbard. It's like 50 pages long. It's a free PDF, and it's great, and it's kind of intellectual, and it's really good for the intellectual types. And I think the Beavis and Butthead types like you and me and Cody, who does this libertarian humor show off the air live. You know, I think it's good for us to read stuff like that once. I mean, you've read all that stuff. I don't read it. I just like, I know it. I know it's in my heart, man.
Yeah.
But
you know, once you've read it and understand it, it's kind of like, okay, you know, you get bored with reading the same, I guess not bored, but you know, sometimes you want to branch out and more apply it to real life and talk about it conversationally and at a level that we all sort of live and breathe on a daily basis, the average person, and get away from the sort of ivory tower academia kind of thoughts on it.
I mean, life doesn't work like a college classroom, but you know, you can learn things in a college classroom, but then you have to go apply them in life. And that's
right.
One of my big complaints. I mean, I was on my way to like scholarships to good universities. I was smart enough. I was, you know, high enough percent, like top percentile in all that standardized testing. And I intentionally blew it. I didn't want to do it. I went to community college and dropped out because I was too busy partying and going to the library to learn. And I have a real, you know, people could say it's, you know, sour grapes, but it's not, because I have a life that's, you know, financially as good as someone who went to college or better these days. You went to college. I mean, not saying you're a rat.
what is that supposed to be?
Well, you know, you're living in an apartment, you're renting, and you're really, really in debt. I'm paying a mortgage in a house and I'm not in debt other than that mortgage.
Well, your mortgage debt is probably bigger than my student loan debt.
Yeah, but I have something to show for it when I'm done. A house.
I got a piece of paper.
All right. Let me not use you as the example of what not to do. But you've done that yourself. You've said, I went to college and paid all this money and I have all this debt and, you know, I could have learned all this stuff on my own and mostly did.
Yeah. I did. I learned a lot more on my own and working, you know, than I did in college itself. I mean, but then again, these days it's tough too. You're kind of in a catch 22 because the system's almost set up to force you into that debt because everybody else is getting the piece of paper. And if you apply to a job, you know, where everybody else has the piece of paper and you don't, you might not get it. If it's a job you want to get, if it's a certain career path where that degree looks good, you know, I didn't meet anybody as a reporter who didn't have a degree. In fact, most of the people I met, you know, everything's so watered down now. Most of the people I met, or a lot of them, had master's degrees.
Aren't you making more money delivering pizza than you did as a reporter?
I am. I'm making more money as a pizza delivery boy.
Reporter doesn't pay, and the very small percentage who get out and go work for Fox News or CNN and make a lot, that is such a small percentage. It's like saying, hey, I'm going to be a rapper or a rock star, you know, isn't it?
I mean, if you bust your ass for a long time, you might get decent pay, you know, making $50,000 at a middle market as a reporter or an anchor, things like that. But you'll be stuck in the same place. You'll be bored to tears, probably.
You have to worry about your looks, too.
You have to worry about your looks. It's easier for men than women in the long term, but it's easier for women than men in the short term is usually how it works. Most of the people I saw that went on to bigger, way bigger markets were really beautiful women because it's a lot easier to pitch yourself as a really beautiful woman.
Well, Jay Tizzle did, but that's not a huger market where she is. Don't say where she is, but...
It is. That's got to be in the top 20 at least,
okay.
I imagine.
So you think she's making significantly more than she did here?
No, actually not. Oh, it's significantly more than she did there, but not a whole lot. Like, not something that you would want to rest your laurels on. But I think she's going to get a lot bigger.
I think she's going to end up on Fox or CNN in New York. I really do. She just has it, man. The girl that was in our Guns and Weed movie that everyone fell in love with.
She does.
She has it because everyone falls in love with her. And, you know, I mean, the pot girl in that movie, Michelle, is gorgeous. She's as gorgeous as Tizzle. But she's not an actor. She's not a public persona. She's not a, you know, she's someone we dragged off the street and, you know, reluctantly she said, okay, I'll be on camera. She was great for what it was, but it's not just beauty is what I'm saying. Like, you know, out of like 1,000 people wrote me and said, man, that girl, that gun girl, I'm in love with her. She's great. And she's not even really a gun girl. She was acting. But the, you know, and like two people.
She kind of is a gun girl too. She's not like an activist.
She shot them, but she doesn't carry them or own them. Or maybe she does.
Right. Maybe she does now.
She doesn't. Yeah.
But she grew up in Arkansas. She grew up in Arkansas, you know, on pretty much a farm. Her parents are awesome. You know, they would grow organic tobacco and she could shoot. Like we did a thing where all the media people had like this competition with the Department of Fish and Hogs, where you went and did all these different competitions, and she won the 22 shooting contest. She beat me by like 2 points.
I guess what I'm saying is that the words that were coming out of her mouth, we wrote and weren't her words, but she made them her words. And it wasn't stuff she really would go around saying. I mean, she didn't disagree with it when she heard it, I don't think, but you know, she doesn't walk around thinking and saying things like that.
Well, here's the thing too.
And that's what people fell in love with, was her beauty delivering that in a beautiful way.
Right. But to be also to be successful in the news media, you have to watch all the other mainstream news media, ingest its talking points, and be able to spit them out and play off of them for story ideas. That's when a news director wants story ideas, that's what they want. They want things in that vein, that same vein that you see on every local news show and every national news show, just localized to the local market. So, you know, when you do that, you have to sort of put your blinders on to reality and focus on whatever the narrative is in the news, because that narrative is what the station, the news director, wants to be repeated. You have to follow that narrative. Now, you can take it in some new different directions, and that's great, and they call that enterprising, and you can find local angles and different
angles.
They call
that enterprising? That's the term for it?
Or well, enterprising is finding stories, but usually when they want you to enterprise, they want you to find stories that are in the same vein as everything else in the mainstream news media, but has a slightly different angle. So the narrative pretty much stays the same, and that's the problem. Is everything just gets regurgitated? It reminds me of the way there's a political spectrum that's between, you know, a very narrow range, like Tom Woods is fond of saying, between, you know, Mitch McConnell and Hillary Clinton. That's the only debate we're allowed.
Punch in the left nut or a punch in the right nut?
But not even that.
A punch in the nut from a girl or from a boy?
It's just you can't go that far to either the normal left or right, right? I mean, because that's how news is, because their audience is sort of a lowest common denominator thing, and you don't want to be too Republican, even, you know, mainstream Republican right, or too mainstream Democratic left. It still has to be very
centrist.
Narrow.
Centrist left or centrist right, whatever that means.
Centrist, which Scott Horton is fond of saying, you know, centrists and moderates, they're still extremists. They're extremists, right? They're not moderates.
Well, we
centrists
said moderate,
are extremists.
We had an episode called Moderates Are People Who Want Everything to Be a Little Bit Illegal.
Yeah. But really what moderates are is they want the worst of everything. They're not principled.
They want something stolen for everybody.
Right. They want to compromise to where you get the worst of both worlds.
Yeah.
And usually they want to kill a whole bunch of people, and that's why they're extremists.
For everybody.
Yeah, for everybody. We're equal opportunity oppressor.
I'm sitting cross-legged holding my $17 mic handheld, just kind of like twitching and rolling around in my chair and stretching. It's nice.
Oh, you're mic controlling, huh?
I'm mic controlling, but not really standing up. So what do we got to cover here? We got, now that we've introduced our podcast, I want to say I finally got to try some of Jillian Batty's Stateless Sweets. Oh my God, they are so good. They're orgasmic. I highly recommend them to everyone.
Yeah. What'd you try?
Statelesssweets.com. Peanut brittle and like chocolate toffee kind of stuff. I don't know what it's called, but she had some buttons of ours. We sent her buttons to hand out at Libertopia, and she sent back the ones she didn't give out, and she included some stuff in there. Even though I told her I'm on a diet and I don't eat that stuff, but you know, she did portion control. She just did enough to get me hooked. First hit's free, and I'm going to be ordering some, at least for Christmas presents,
I saw on her Facebook feed, too, that she was getting her family to go gluten-free. I wonder if she's going to start doing gluten-free stateless sweets, too. You know,
I hope not. I like them as they are. Well, I mean, I'm sure there'll be choices. That's what it's all about, man.
Exactly.
So I started watching The Shield again, but now I'm cheering for the drug dealers and booing the cops.
There you go.
Yep. And let's see. Good people don't steal, rape, or kill, even if they can get away with it. That episode was downloaded on BitTorrent in both the United Arab Emirates and Pakistan, which is Pakistan's a first for us. So the torrent is the seed box is paying off. So let's do it.
Yeah. So screw you, local news. I am not at all. I'm not at all thinking that, hey, I wish I was in local news. I thought about it the other day. I was like, I reach more people that want to listen to me for me, right? I'm not shilling for the state. So people who listen to me are like, wow, okay, I agree with what that guy thinks, or at least I'm entertained by what that guy thinks. Whereas the people that watched me on the news, the local news, they're like, oh, okay, he's saying something that everybody else says, but maybe he says it kind of cool.
And the torrent stuff allows it to get past censors. I mean, Pakistan has pretty heavy internet censorship. I doubt they can view not just our site, but probably most sites in America.
I don't even know if Pakistan has it like that, though. I mean, somebody needs to do some good reporting from what it's like to live in Pakistan, because
it's
kind of a mess.
If that person's listening and wants to risk prison by sending us a blog post, we'll definitely post it. We'll probably get droned for that, but go ahead, man. It's funny how, like, if you do business with certain countries, like if I started, you know, if I were selling, if someone in Iran ordered some Fiends buttons and I mailed them, I might get in trouble.
You saw that story of Apple turning away Persian people trying to buy iPads.
Because
of the round of sanctions. The corporation policy just didn't want to risk it.
But governments can do that. I mean, the United States government, I'm sure, has some kind of money exchange with Iran, giving them funding to not do something. Or, you know, I mean, I would say that bombing spending money there.
Well, luckily they haven't started yet, but they do have money exchange because
they haven't bombed anyone there.
Pay Israel to use as a terrorist to bomb things there. So
okay,
I'm gonna
check my traps on the internet. You tell what you wanted to tell at the end of the last episode where we didn't get time, of why Iran is not a threat and why everything is bullshit.
Okay,
go ahead.
So the caller called in and he's a great caller. He was going to make an analogy, and we didn't let him finish the analogy because of the break. You know, we couldn't get into it. But I could maybe kind of see where it was going, unless he was going to correct what he was saying or add something else that I didn't get to hear. But he said, you know, Iran is like, you know, imagine there's a guy in Hawaii who wants to kill you, but he doesn't have a gun yet, and he's trying to get the gun. And I imagine where he was going with that was, you know, do you go send somebody to shoot him before he gets the gun so he doesn't get the gun? I think that's where he was going with it. But I wanted to stop him right there because Iran doesn't want to kill America or even Israel, and they've never really said as such. I mean, after, you know, the initial hostage crisis, you know, where they stormed the embassy, you know, which was years ago, you know, in the modern sense,
I was a kid when that happened. That was one of the first events I remember on the news after the Vietnam
War. And history didn't begin then, right? It's not like they stormed the embassy because they were jealous of American freedoms.
No, it's because the CIA went in there in 1950 something and installed a bogus leader after a democratic election.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Dictator who had secret police. The Shah had secret police called Savak that would tyrannize people, and people knew that this tyranny existed because of American involvement and the CIA. So that was a reaction. That was a pushing the American tyrant away. It wasn't an attack. It was self-defense.
How'd your dad end up here, and what does it relate to that? Okay.
It does relate to that, but before I go into that personal story again, it was collective self-defense, and I don't know if I co-sign it because, you know, I don't know if taking people hostage, you know, just because they work in a place is correct. I don't know, man. I'm not the moral philosopher on that, and I wasn't there, and I don't know exactly how it worked. But the point is, you know, after that happens, right, it's not like Iran is the crazy guy in Hawaii saying they're going to kill us. Iran never says they want to attack America. They want to bomb America. They don't say that about Israel either, and people always say, oh, well, Ahmadinejad said he was going to wipe Israel off the face of the map, and they're not rational actors. If they get the bomb, they're gonna blow him up.
Now isn't there a conspiracy theory that he was one of the students taking people hostage there? But that's not proven, right?
In fact, people started saying that immediately after he was elected, like because it was kind of a surprise that he was elected president of Iran. They were like, oh, this Mehram Tehran came out of nowhere and won the election, and immediately, like the day after, I remember I was interning at News 8 Austin back then. Immediately after, there were stories on all the major news about was he a hostage taker, things like that, and then they dropped it for some reason the day after. The story either didn't have legs, or somebody sent a memo out, hey, stop covering this, whatever. It completely disappeared off the face of the earth, that story, at least in, you know, your mainstream Fox and whatever. But my point is, Iran doesn't threaten America or Israel with their words or with their actions. And when you see that kind of talk in the news, it's a lie or they're leaving something out. For instance, when Iran said that they would fight back and close the Straits of Hormuz if attacked, Fox News left out the if attacked part, right? They just said Iran threatens to close Strait of Hormuz. And everybody, you know, all the Joe Schmoes out there, that's all they heard. And they were like, oh, we're going to war with Iran because they threatened to close the Strait of Hormuz. No, no. They were explaining the consequences if they were attacked. That's like saying, hey, if you come in, if you run into my house, I'm going to shoot you. Is that a violent thing to say? No.
No.
You're saying I'm going to defend myself.
What about the theory that he said I'm gonna wipe Israel off the map?
Yeah, that's been disproven for years.
Explain why.
It was mistranslated. What he really said was something more to the effect of eventually Israel would not exist on the map anymore, as in, you know, the state will fail. He didn't imply that I will make it fail or that I will wipe it off the map.
We say that about America. We say that about America every episode.
We say that about governments in general. I mean, yeah. Every episode, that's what we're wishing for, is that states will not exist on the map, and there will be no such thing as a political map in the future. So he wasn't saying anything to the effect of I'm going to march into Israel and wipe them off the map. Yeah, so they don't say these things. They don't threaten America. In fact, and listen to Scott Horton on this. He actually did an interview with a really great guy. I forget his name, but he's Iranian, and he studies this, and he writes on it. And he actually sounds just like my Uncle Mohsen, so I love listening to him. It's like hearing my Uncle Mohsen.
Hang on a sec. Take one breath.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah.
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to loll at?
Duh.
Freedom fiends to the rescue. The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. We have Freedom Fiends, Anarchy Gumbo, and two designs for Guns and Weed the Road to Freedom. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $6 for 4 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network. A collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes. Follow twitter.com/fiendtorrents to grab the past episodes and new ones as they post. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents, while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding the Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down. That's twitter.com/fiendtorrents.
All right, I stopped and restarted. We were at 23
okay,
minutes, so
okay.
Go, go, go.
Yeah, so Iran has said, we will work with you multiple times, even in the Bush administration, like right after Bush invaded Iraq. Iran, the president there, Rafsanjani, maybe? I forget his name. Or Khatami, maybe? Yeah, the reformist. Whoever was in charge there of being the president said, we will work with you. You know, we need to have talks. We'll discuss anything that we're involved in or that you think we're involved in the Middle East, including nuclear program, our relationship with other actors in the region. Whatever you want on the table, we're willing to discuss and come to an agreement on. You know, back then. And even now that Obama's saying, well, you can't enrich uranium if you need it for your medical program, then, send us the uranium, France or Brazil or somebody will enrich it and we'll send it back. This has happened like 2 or 3 times. And Iran's like, OK, cool deal. You know, promise to not attack us. And it's a deal. We won't enrich it ourselves. You can enrich it for us. Send it back.
You can do all the work. Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah. Let's work this out. And then Obama refuses to listen to, he refuses to accept their acceptance. He's like, oh, whatever. We're not, you're irrational. We're not talking to you. So all of these things that they try to scare you with in the mainstream media, they're just BS. And the other thing is, Iranians are just people. You know, we've talked about it on the cast before. I do encourage you to go friend it. Friend on Facebook, Iran Loves Israel, and also friend Israel Loves Iran. And it's just regular people saying, you know, we love you people. We're not part of the government. You know, we don't want to kill you. I don't want to be drafted to kill you. Because in both Iran and Israel, young people are forced by their governments into the military. So, you know, there's a lot more at stake for young people.
That's true in Israel and most of Europe. That's true in Israel and most of Europe too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if there's people who say that's horrible and tyrannical because they do that. And I'm like, well, most European countries and Israel.
Well, you're right. It is tyrannical, but like I said, both Israel and Iran. So it's not like Iran's this you know, savage nation that would do such a thing. Israel
is a
thing.
Savage nation, man. Talk about some of what they've done.
Well, see, that's the thing. I was trying to make a distinction between the state and the people. The Israeli state, like all states, is savage. I would say the Israeli state is particularly savage. Although Scott Horton pointed this out, they haven't had any big wars or big violent actions since this current government, since Netanyahu's current far right Likud party government, even though that's what they wanted really bad. But before then, you know, there was it Gaza? Yeah, the way they attacked the Gaza Strip, just bombing people using white phosphorus, turning kids into crisp of themselves. You know. Canonical. Yeah. Why is that?
I don't know. I'm bored. No, I'm not bored. I'm like, I want to talk, but I don't have anything. You know all this. I don't.
You asked me to explain.
I know.
What
it's man. I'm like a little kid. I'm like, Daddy, tell me about the war, and then I'm like, okay, tell me about Britney Spears.
Okay. Okay. Well.
No. Go ahead, man. Go ahead. It's no, awesome. It's cool. I'm just an idiot. Go ahead. Canonical. DJ Canonical. DJ Canonical.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, oh, here's the other thing too. Even the Americans, the American state and the Israeli state, they know everything I'm saying, and they agree with everything I'm saying. They know Iran doesn't have a nuclear weapons program. They know Iran, if they did have a bomb, wouldn't use it on Israel. They know that Iran couldn't ever logistically attack America. Look on a frickin' map. Mayor Dagan, the former head of Mossad, has come out against Netanyahu and said that attacking Iran would be the stupidest thing to do in the world, pretty much. So the people in the state, the governmental people, the people who would pull the trigger or push the button on an Iran attack, they know exactly what I'm saying, and they agree with me. What they want to do is they want to keep Iran from becoming any kind of outside of the empire entity, which I guess they sort of are already, and that's why they have beef with them in the first place, is because they threw off the American hegemony vis-a-vis the Shah. But what they really want is, you know, some kind of regime change. They want Iran to be puppet dictator, right? They want Mubarak kind of a guy. They want the guy who was the evil dictator of Egypt for decades until the Egyptians said enough. They want somebody like that running Iran, so they can say, hey, torture so and so to death, and they will. So that's really what they want. They are the aggressor because they want control, just like they do with everything the state does, especially the American state, because it's the most powerful state in the history of the world, and the Israeli state, because they know they have the most powerful state in the history of the world on their side, giving them money and weapons. So don't make the analogy, I guess, is how I'm drawing this to a circle. Don't make the an analogy that Iran's some crazy guy that can't attack us, but would if he could just get the right weapon. That's not the case. Iran doesn't want to attack Israel, doesn't want to attack America. And, you know, you could make the argument that that's just because they know they'd lose. But fair enough. I mean, whatever the disincentive is, they don't want it. So that's where I'll rest that.
Cool. Let's talk about something else that Obama has banned or tried to, which is Russian gangs. This is kind of interesting because there's a liberty fix here, even though a lot of these gangs are really, really heinous and, you know, chop off heads and stuff and feet and whatever. But so I was searching the I ran across this site called this concept called ACAB, which is British slang for all cops are bastards. We're all coppers or bastards, and it's often spray painted around London and other towns in England in like 5 foot high letters.
Nice.
And there people have actually like tried to purify it and make it say it's something else. One is always carry a Bible, and one is all cats are beautiful, which I agree with that one, but yeah, I still like are. All cats yeah. are bastards. So then I looked up, there's like a Polish equivalent, which is HWDP, which stands for something that translates literally as like a sharp hook in the cop's asshole,
or a dick up police's ass, yeah, according to Wiki.
Yeah,
that's funny. Now that reminds me of Pimp C saying he'd fuck a cop in the ass with that nightstick if the cop so tried to hit him with it.
Talk about the guy in England who with the one less cop shirt getting arrested.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's a thing, right? Saying fuck the cops. I mean, that happens, yeah, not only in America, but in England. Apparently,
don't
all across.
Fuck the cops. We'll the throw world. You in jail.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was going to talk about this on a previous cast. It happened, I think, about a month ago. So, there were these two women cops. They were killed pretty horribly. I mean, you can't really be on the side of the way these two women cops were killed. Basically, somebody called the cops and was like, hey, I'm getting robbed. But it was a misdirect. They wanted the two cops to show up. And cops are unarmed in England, too. So, these two
not
unarmed.
Not all of them. Not, that's not entirely not, not true all anymore. And,
yeah,
you know,
that's true.
They used to just have a whistle. Right. Which was useless, and now they have a radio where they can call a SWAT team that's really nearby.
Yeah, exactly. But for these two cops were unarmed.
A real SWAT team with arms
and that
rifles.
Often does happen. So they go to this call and they just get shot up. I think a grenade too. Like this, the dude who did this had this all planned out and wanted to kill them very violently, which is horrible.
Did he die in really, it?
No. I think the attacker was eventually arrested. But that's sort of the background. So then what happened is, very soon after that, this guy named, Barry Thew, I'm not sure if I pronounced that correctly, Thew, Thew, Barry Thew, of Radcliffe Greater Manchester, apparently, Greater Manchester. He wore a shirt, just a white t-shirt. And he drew on it with a marker, and it said one less pig, and then had like a piggy smiley face, and then it said perfect justice. And then on the back, he wrote killacopforfun.co.uk, haha, and question mark. So kind of all over the place, kind of psycho. Whatever, you know. The thing is,
I would not wear that shirt.
I wouldn't wear it either. I wouldn't write it.
But I don't think it's a jailable offense.
I don't think it is either, but he was jailed. You know, and this is England, and people in England more and more are getting locked up or fined or getting in some kind of trouble for speech on Facebook. I think it's happened 2 or 3 or 4 examples in the mainstream media that I've read about, or at least in the Daily Mail, which is mainstream for England. This guy was sentenced to 8 months in jail for wearing a T-shirt that was distasteful. For offending the state is basically what it amounts to. And that's basically what the judge said. The judge was quoted as saying, your response to the shocking events was to parade around a T-shirt, which had on it the most disgusting of slogans. In my judgment, it's utterly depressing that you felt able to stoop so low as to behave that way. Your mindless behavior has added to the pain of everyone touched by the death of these young officers. You have shown no remorse. So, the judge is basically saying, I'm throwing you in jail because of your poor taste and because you've offended me.
I would say that the state has really the same worst poor taste because, you know, they don't just wear a T-shirt. They do it and teach it and demand it. You know, I mean, cops.
Exactly.
When you become a cop, especially if you're like a cop on some special team, like a drug cop or whatever, I mean, your job is pulling the trigger on people who don't commit any violence. You know, your job is throwing people in cages, if not shooting them if they resist, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
your job is enforcing the violence of the state.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Exactly. And I did leave a comment to that effect, you know, basically saying, hey, yeah, it's horribly tragic what happened to these two women. I don't think anybody deserves to die that way, because it wasn't self-defense. You know, he called them with the intention of killing them, not the guy that wore the T-shirt, but the guy who killed the girls. So I don't think that was a libertarian thing or a morally defensible thing at all. But the thought that less pigs is good for society, that's the true thought, right? I mean, if the less enforcers of the state's laws there are, the better. I left a comment to this effect, and I said, you know, I would hope that, you know, the way we would get less pigs is that they get honest jobs. Like selling incense. They get honest jobs and become productive citizens in society rather than parasites. But the thought that there should be less cops, you know, I would like there to be zero cops. Of course, the Daily Mail didn't post comment. But then again, they didn't post any comments after the day I posted it anyway. So maybe they just cut off the comments at that point. So, but yeah, that's my thought, right? This guy... what he said had a nugget of truth to it, and even if it didn't, even if it was just completely ridiculous, he obviously didn't harm anybody in the sense of violating the non-aggression principle by wearing the shirt.
I know.
You know, you could say he offended people's sensibilities, but that's your own damn fault, right? I don't think offending people or saying something or showing something that makes their brain hurt. I don't think that's of violating the non-aggression principle. Do you, Michael?
Well, no, I mean, there's that law in Arizona now. I don't know if it passed or not. It passed one house of the state Senate there that it's illegal to annoy people on the internet. And I was thinking, you know, everything that I read about on the internet that Sheriff Joe Arpaio does, how do you say it? Joe Arpaio?
I think it's Arpaio. Yeah.
Arpaio. Everything he does that I read about on the internet annoys me. Can I have him arrested in Arizona now?
You should try. Yeah. I don't know. I've always been bugged by that. By the don't say that. Don't do that. That's offensive. I guess that's fine if you're trying to not offend somebody. Like if you want to get a job from them or you want them to be part of your social
free
circle,
market, baby. Free
fine.
Market.
But yeah, if it's more important to me to express my opinion, I don't think that you should be concerned with. You know, it's more important. Your freedom of speech than not offending somebody else's sensibilities, because what they can do is in the future they can not listen to you anymore. They can block you, like on Facebook. They can just not look at you if you offend them, if your opinions offend them that bad. They can just walk away, just like KLK said about, you know, smoking in bars. You know, if it offends you that bad, just walk away. You know,
you are on fire today. You really are, for someone that didn't sleep enough and had a hard time getting up to interwebs. You really are. I commend you.
I always have a hard time getting up.
During that last bit, I walked away from the mic for like 3 minutes. I went out and let my cat out because all cats are beautiful, especially when they're romping in the morning dew. And it's rock and roll, man. Rock and roll. So I think
it's talking to more people, you know, all the time. And
actually leaving the house. So if I left the house, you wouldn't be able to get a word in edgewise.
Maybe. Why don't you try it?
So let's go on to Russian anarchist gangs, which was one of the related links on this ACAB, HWDP, All Cats Are Beautiful, All Cops Are Bastards page. Basically because Russian gangs that led to the Russian mafia now, that started like before World War II, kind of led, they had tattoos that were anti-government. And they called themselves a thief in law, which was like a brother in law, but a thief in law. It was a code, and their code was like more serious than like American prison code. I mean, for instance, they had something called a bitch, which, you know, in American prisons, that's either, you know, the guy you're fucking or a snitch. But they extended that beyond just like turning in other prisoners. It was any cooperation with the government, to the point where,
yeah,
Stalin offered this kind of amnesty program where prisoners could leave prison and go fight in the army and fight Hitler And then have to be returned to prison. They didn't get complete amnesty, but they would have their sentence reduced and get better perks in prison. And they were murdered by the thief in laws for doing that, for doing something that any prisoner would probably do now, you know, or not any prisoner, but a lot of prisoners.
And the term they used for these people that would take that deal is they went bitch. Yeah. If you worked for government, you quote unquote went bitch.
And they had something called the bitch wars, which was the like mass slaughter of these people in prison when they returned from working with the government. By it was, I mean, these guys literally had tattoos that were like the word sedition or the word like anti-government, like any cooperation with the government was, it was, you know, in American prison culture, it's like any cooperation with the police. But, you know, most people in prison probably get out and want to like do stuff with the, you know, if there's a government like training, job training program, people take it. But no, that wouldn't even work here. Like any involvement with the government would get you killed.
Yeah, yeah. So if T.I. existed, T.I. would have gotten killed because he got out of jail and was like, gun control, kids. Don't have guns.
Oh, yeah.
Freaking T.I.
Freaking T.I. Yeah. So did you ever, did that song ever come out by Snoop Lion about guns are bad, or whatever?
I don't know. I think we're still waiting on Snoop Lion because he was busy doing a Hot Pocket commercial. Pocket like it's hot.
That's funny.
Yeah,
you know, Hot Pocket is a meme on Adam Curry's show. It's something about like vaginas with tattoos, but I don't know what it is.
Stolen vaginas.
Yeah. Well, maybe that Snoop Lion, Snoop Dogg song came out and he's just so irrelevant now that we don't even notice, you know, we missed the
memo.
That
might be the case. That might be the case. I don't know. I remember when I first heard about it, I tried to look it up on YouTube and it was like some horrible rapper being fraudulent and using the name.
Yeah.
Like wasn't really anything to do
with
it.
There were a bunch of those. Yeah.
Snoop Lion, no guns allowed. Let me try it again. I mean, it's been a few months.
So, you know, I think that this is kind of an extrapolation on our previous episode, good people don't rape, kill, or steal, even if they can get away with it.
Yeah.
I have a theory, or I would like to postulate, that moral atheists are more moral than moral religious people. Because moral religious people, a lot of the reason a lot of them are moral and don't kill or steal is because
they don't go to hell.
So they don't go to hell. Mm-hmm. But if you're an atheist and you don't kill and steal and rape, even when you can get away with it, you're even more moral than religious people who think they're so moral because you're doing it, you know, with no threat, no consequence.
Right, right, right. You're doing it because you feel it's a beneficial thing to you and society. And I kind of feel like that's sort of the argument Stefan Molyneux would make with his universally preferable behavior is doing
math.
Is not violating the non-aggression principle. Yeah, fine, whatever. but you're 100% right. I think if you don't do things because you fear the consequences of a scary god
or even karma, because state. You know, you can't be an atheist and believe in karma. I'm sure there are people in San Francisco who say they're atheists and believe in karma, but
karma's a religious concept. It kind of is, but I kind of also feel like you could believe in some sense of karma without being mystical about it. Like you can believe that that how you treat people is how they'll end up treating you.
Well, actually, that's dharma, which a lot of people mistake, and they're so stupid they don't even know the difference. When people say karma, they're usually talking about what is the concept of dharma, which is good things come back to you in this life. Karma is about what comes back to you in your reincarnation. So you are not, you can't be an atheist and believe in karma because you're believing in reincarnation, which is, you know, a religious concept and not a physics concept. Although it's almost a physics concept. I've said that, you know, I don't believe in any organized system, but the one that kind of makes sense in a mathematical physics sense would be reincarnation because it's like energy doesn't disappear. It just changes form in our
law
universe.
Law of conservation of energy.
Yeah.
I guess I could kind of see that, you know. I kind of imagine that too. I mean, all the atoms that are in you, you know, unless they are incinerated in some kind of nuclear blast or
they'll still be atoms.
Fissile,
they'll still, the energy will still exist.
You're right.
There's even a finite. You can't
create
energy.
If the atoms
break,
the protons, neutrons, and electrons will go somewhere else.
Nothing in this universe can create energy. There's a set amount of energy. Actually, an expanding amount of energy. But that's. I'm not deep enough to talk about that shit, but I do know that, like, okay, on the earth, there's a set amount of energy. You know, when you burn something and it turns into heat, there's that heat, and that heat dissipates, but it dissipates by exciting other atoms, and those atoms are excited, and
I'm excited. I don't know if you could say the earth. I get where you're coming from, but, you know, the earth isn't a closed system because we gain energy from the sun. So maybe you could say in the solar system or something like that. But even then, there's always outside factors. There's probably
connections. Yeah, and then you get into black matter and antimatter and plasma and all sorts of other things. So,
right, right. Like if a comet crashes into Earth or an asteroid, you know, energy has been added.
Yeah, but
that energy was external to us.
In a closed system, there's exactly always the same amount of energy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, in laboratory conditions.
It's just we don't know if there is any natural closed systems or not.
So let's go sell some stuff.
All right.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Have you swallowed too much of the state's poison? The Freedom Fiends will stick their fingers down your throat and hold your hair back while you hurl. Check out the new show, The Freedom Fiends Agenda, on Adam Curry's No Agenda Global Radio, streaming live every Thursday from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. East Coast U.S. time. Listen live at nagradio.com. That's nagradio.com. Call in soon before they get droned.
So how's your new tube-based economy working out there, Nima?
Awesome, man. Yeah, I you sent me a new tube for the SM Audio, which is my preamp compressor.
S&M Audio.
S&M Audio, yeah. And I'd never replaced... it's a vacuum tube, right? That's the whole name, but we just call it a tube.
Kids today don't even know what a tube is. They might know what vinyl is because DJs use it, but who has seen a tube that's under 30? So tell what a tube is.
I haven't, but...
what a tube is. It's what they have before transistors to do amplification, and they're like a little light bulb. They're like a little blown glass tube with either a vacuum or an inert gas in them that have some little anodes and... triodes and dendrites
that I don't even know if those you're that's making not those up
I'm mixing up what's in the brain with what's in a tube. Anode, cathode, triode, and working as a dendrite and a synapse and a neuron.
Basically, it has big words in it. Yeah,
basically it's like a pre-transistor with transistors. I don't even know what that is. That's something that, you know, an integrated circuit has millions of transistors. Integrated circuits, what powers all computers. So, you know, tubes are what they had before that. It's a vacuum tube, and it's, you know, they cost like $15 to $50 each, and they get hot and they use a lot of energy. And, but they have a sound that transistors don't have, and we're using them. It's part of why we sound really kind of warm and sexy.
Yeah.
Warm and
why sexy. Why do they sound so different?
I can explain it. It's pretty simple, actually, physics. It's got to do with even and odd harmonics and the way that they distort them in a cool way rather than a bad distorted kind of way.
Okay
that's all I know, but
yeah. They're awesome to hold in your hand and play with, and this little piece of cool, awesome looking glass that looks like it came out of, you know, a comic book in the 1950s.
It's kind of like it has like silver on the top of it, and it has you know, weird pins. Yeah. It has like six pins sticking out of it, and it's about 2 inches long.
It's something
long.
You can hold and touch. Like a microchip you can't like hold and be like, ooh, unless you're like super nerdy. But if you're just kind of nerdy and you hold the tube, it's like,
Well, the first computers, you know, instead of having a microchip like you have in your iPhone or your Android phone, I should say, you know, they had buildings full of circuits that had tubes, you know, that had millions of tubes. And actually the term like a bug, like when a program has a bug, you
was
know,
literally
like,
an insect.
It was like a moth would be attracted to the light and heat of the tube and would get in between the contacts and fry and die. And they would have to debug the system.
Nice.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that. No, that is completely awesome. But I opened up the thing because the tube went out like
Remember, so that was the problem. It was dying.
Oh, totally.
It sounded horrible,
totally.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, on the Thursday show, the Curry show, before this last one, you were like, hey, you're getting this weird whooshing sound. And that's the thing, I guess, with troubleshooting something like the Tube, is it's not like digital troubleshooting that we all know how to do already. It was like, it sounded analog. Like an ocean. It was like we had a conch shell up to the microphone. It was like, whoosh,
and it was only in one channel, which is kind of interesting, because this particular tube is a stereo tube. It has two sides to the circuit and can power two discrete channels on a preamp.
Yeah, yeah. And so it was just the one channel.
The other went.
Yeah, and then on the Sunday show, I had it plugged in, and we were doing pregame or something, and Mike was like, yeah, it sounds okay. And then I went to get a drink, and I came back, and he was like, what was that noise that sounded like a robot farting?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that was it dying. You said it sounded like a robot farting. Like,
yeah.
And then I couldn't get any gain out of it. Like, I could turn the gain all the way up and kind of get to hear the voice, but it mostly sounded like static. It was awful. So you sent me the new tube, and I put it in, and now it sounds like it sounds, which probably sounds pretty good.
Explain how to replace a tube, then I can put that in the show notes.
Okay, totally. I opened up the thing, you know, I took all the screws off. So open up your device, your preamp, whatever you're putting the tube in.
Wait. Unplug your device.
Oh, yeah.
That very sense. Important. Don't
I
fry our
I
kind of
thought that was
here.
Obvious, though. I mean,
yeah,
whenever you work
not,
on anything electric.
It's
okay,
not.
Fine.
You know, I mean, it's like, because people don't work on stuff like they used to, and they don't teach that in high school like they used to, you know, and they don't teach you not to get on a ladder without someone holding it like they used to. They teach you how to vote. They don't teach you how to not die while doing home maintenance anymore.
There you go. Because that's what the government's for, right? To do all that stuff.
Seriously,
for you.
In shop class, when I was a kid, we didn't even use ladders. You know, the guy talked about like, and when you're married and have a house, you're going to have to get up and do work on the roof and at least clean out the gutters. And you have a step ladder, and you don't get on the top ladder step at all. And you always have someone hold it for you. Good. Duly noted. I learned that at like 10.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's just common sense, but maybe common sense isn't so common
anymore.
Ain't
that common, man.
Unplug it. Anytime, we'll just make that broader. Anytime you work on anything that has electric current running through it and you're going to be putting metal stuff into it and touching it with your hands, unplug the damn thing.
And beyond that, especially with older analog equipment, don't touch any of the circuitry inside it even when it's unplugged, because capacitors can hold a charge. And the capacitors in digital equipment are, you know, on the chip usually, and they're tiny and they don't hold much enough to shock you. But like with an old TV, the tube on it can kill you. You know, and I've seen TV repairmen, they actually take a screwdriver with a plastic handle and they short two of the contacts coming out of the cathode ray tube before they work on it, because it has in it goes bzzz and then discharges. And capacitors can do the same thing. And that tube amp you have has capacitors in it. So don't touch anything you're not supposed to touch.
Right. So what I did, unplugged it, let it sit on the ground on a plastic cutting board, because I don't know why. I just put it on top of a plastic cutting board because it was big enough to, you know, cover everything or to cover the whole
ground. Really, if you're doing that to, like, not get a shock, not only it should be on an insulating material, but you should. Because what's going to give you a shock is you connecting to ground. Like, you know, if you're standing on a, you know, if you're touching something metal in your house that's connected to the
earth. I
think
I was wearing sneakers or something.
That's a good start.
So, pop off the top of that thing. Immediately you see where the tube is, because the tube looks completely out of place and different than the green circuits, you know, we're all used to today. Yeah. And, you know, it was connected.
It's on a little plastic mount. Sideways.
I originally thought, oh, do I have to take the whole mount off? And I almost did that, and luckily I didn't. But then I realized, oh, okay, so it's got these metal prongs. I think there's like eight or nine. There's nine little metal prongs that fit into it, and they're in a circular pattern, you know, around the tube. Kind of like the way a MIDI connector looks, but male and on the outside, like showing itself. I did not touch either tube with my bare hands. I actually used a toilet paper condom, sort of, just because I know whenever I replace light bulbs in my car, I don't want to get the oil from my hands on it, because it'll make them burn out faster.
That's important. That's good.
I didn't know if that was true.
You just knew that. Yeah, your finger oils on a hot tube, you know, it's not hot when you're replacing it, but when it heats up, yeah, that'll make it burn out quicker.
Yeah, and so just from my experience of dealing with replacing other things that get hot and are covered in glass, I did not touch it with my actual hands. But yeah, you just sort of jiggle it out very gently, left, right, and then it sort of starts to pull out. And once you can see those metal connectors, the little nine prongs, then you know you're doing it right, and then you can just sort of pull it out gently.
You wiggle it side to side while pulling it away from the connector, very gently.
And then you just do that in reverse with the new tube, pop the top back on. That was literally it. It was good to go after that, and it was great.
Cool. So I want to talk about baby squirrels.
All right, go
baby
for it.
Baby squirrels are friggin' adorable, and they're all over my yard because we put out peanuts and peanut butter. And, you know, they're about half the length of full-size squirrels. It's kind of weird to me that they whelp and, you know, are born this time of year because it's getting near winter. But I guess their goal is to eat enough stuff to grow enough to make it through the winter. Don't most baby animals get born in the spring?
I don't know how it works, man.
Okay.
I would imagine so, but I don't know if that's just something people say or if it's actually scientifically backed up, man. I don't know.
But it's awesome, man. Baby squirrels all over Wyoming.
We saw a ton of baby ducks the other day when we went to the pond, and we were like, aren't those supposed to be born in spring? But no, the ducks all had like litters of baby ducks. So I would also like to say, anybody in Texas or anywhere that gets a Shiner beer, go ahead and try the Shiner Holiday Cheer. It's actually really good. I was very reluctant, but my wife bought it anyway. And
should we write them now and ask for money?
We should. We should totally do that.
Who would do that?
Jay-Z would do that.
You know, Jay-Z really disappointed me. He was up pimping for Obama the other day, like at the Obama thing.
Yeah, I kind of hoped he was. Shit. I kind of hoped he was over that because he was like that at first. But you know, Obama didn't. Obama's still anti everything Jay-Z talked about initially, like in all of his raps. You know, Obama was
weed and freedom,
throwing black people guns in jail for the drug war the whole time, you know, and horribly so. Jay-Z is such a free market kind of guy, you know? How can he be into this socialist Obama crap? I don't get it. I know. I think it's just their friends.
I think they just
and
give him a big dump truck full of money. I really think that's got to be
that
it.
That could be it. And I think the other thing with Jay-Z,
they let him
maybe
write it off on his taxes. Like, you know, your
that might be it.
That happens when people do, you know, when they appear for free, they waive their appearance free, they can write the appearance fee off their taxes. Mm. So what does he charge for an appearance? Probably $500,000.
Yeah, man. There's got to be some. I think it's some selfish incentive that's causing Jay-Z to do this. I don't think it's an altruistic, he thinks Obama's good for the world kind of thing. I really don't.
Charlie is chasing the baby squirrels. Like the big squirrels, she just coexists with them and never goes near them. I just grabbed my mic. That was that noise. I'm sitting up here watching them.
Maybe she prefers chicken wings to chicken breasts.
You go, you plump old lady. Charlie's 13, which is pretty old for a cat, and she's pretty plump, but she just ran across the yard, tried to get a baby squirrel. It ran out of her way, but oh man, that was good.
Yeah.
So nice. The other day, like, I was so busy working on the Fiends and other work, and like some guy was writing me and trying to hire me based on like, yeah, I read your book and I want to hire you to do this appearance on the internet and teach this class. And I'm like, cool. It was getting in my way, man. I was like, you're trying to hire me, but I'm busy working here. I mean, I said, yeah, we'll talk later, and I tabled it, but that's how I am, man. Yeah. I want to talk a little about how I'm so driven to make art and why my motives are different than it used to be. Like, you know, I said in the last cast that I do the art I want to hear. And if someone else were already making it, I'd just be doing like what Sean Duvalli's doing, trying to help them, you know, promote it.
Uh-huh.
And you know, you kind of came into the end of this. I've always had this like fear of dying before my latest project gets out. Like I used to snail mail you like DVDs of like rough cuts of Guns and Weed and say like, you know, if I die, you have to go to MVD and say, this is the final cut, get this out. You know, once to the point where it got to, I could stand by that being the final cut. That's not my motive anymore because I want to live as long as I can and I don't really care and I've had a good long life. But now I'm more worried about some politician stopping us from what we do, which is why I'm putting all this money and all our donations into like the Seed Box, the streaming server, especially the Seed Box, like, and trying to get everyone to, you know, torrent us. Like, I'm not afraid of death. I'm afraid of the internet getting gooned.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I think we should definitely keep using that as a verb. I like that.
Getting gooned.
Don't get gooned.
Speaking of getting goons, we got mildly gooned. We never talked about John Berkman, followed up on that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't know if you wanted to wait
for some further development. No, Will Coley was going to do a blog post, but he never got around to it. And, you know, he can sue us. I don't care. I mean, no, I do care, but there's nothing we're going to say that he could sue us about. So explain who John Berkman is and what our Berka challenge all right. was.
Yeah, yeah. So John Berkman is this, he seems kind of like a lawyer upon first looking at it.
Okay, stop. Stop.
I said seems. Seems is very different than
yeah,
his.
Yeah, okay. But
he seems to me. I was a reporter. I know how to couch it.
Do we even know anything about his lawyering? I think he seems like a sleazy pundit, I would say, who happens to be a lawyer.
You're right. I don't know anything about his lawyering, but he seems to me because of his body
language. Turn down your treble a little bit on the SNM audio.
Sure.
You're getting a lot of sibilance.
He seems to me, but the reason he did was because he was doing a video where he basically pushes forward the idea that Muslims, all Muslims, are indeed savages. And while he's doing this, he's got a lot of body language that does not engender trust. Like he's sort of hunched over.
Oh, you're going to analyze him like they analyze people on Fox News? I love it.
Kind of.
Because he's on Fox News. He's been on Fox. He's been on CNN. I don't know if you know that about him.
I can't imagine they would have him on there because he just seemed like such a wingnut.
Well, which is really weird because he turned us down. Okay, talk about what I think we've established. He's a guy we don't like.
Fair
but
enough.
He had a challenge.
Yes, yes. So in this video he did where he basically makes the argument that all Muslims are savages, he rests that on the fact that women wear veils. He says, I will debate anybody, anywhere, anytime on this point, and I will rest my argument, you know, that Muslims are savages. I will rest my argument on this one simple fact. You know, I immediately was like, oh, okay, I'll debate you, buddy. But then I thought better. I thought, you know, why not
get
somebody?
We have a guy for that.
A guy for that. We have Will Coley, who's very, very well studied.
We don't have him,
Islam.
But, you know, on Team Fiend, there is somebody who's really, really, I mean, a lot of what he does is argues that what people are wrong about Islam. And he is Muslim.
Right.
He's an American redneck Muslim, self-declared.
Yeah. Yeah. And Ben Stone actually interviewed him recently, which is also a great interview. So listen to the Anarchy Gumbo. Just Google Will Coley. You should see the Anarchy Gumbo and the recent Ben Stone interview. And who else did it? Brushfires of the Mind. Our good friends over there also had him on the show. Go look up Will Coley. I immediately sent this guy's stuff to Will Coley, and I was like, hey, Will, check this out. Would you be interested in debating this guy? He said he'd debate anybody, anytime, anywhere. Will was immediately like, yeah, get on it. Let's contact him. So, you know, we post stuff on his face, or not on his Facebook, on his YouTube. Will tried to contact him. No response. Michael gets his email, you know, his work email, contacts him. No response initially.
Called him in his law firm. Got his law firm number.
Called him.
I'm relentless. I can get anybody.
Yeah,
anybody.
You're our bulldog. He came back with, if you find a serious venue for this, I've never heard of these things. Basically blowing us off saying, go away, kid. You bother me. But
he said, let me quote. I have the email right here. He said, I might consider it if you could show me that there would be serious coverage of it. Never heard of any of this. Find a serious venue for it. I wrote him back. I'm like, hey, we got about 5,000 listeners. Plus, we're on YouTube, BitTorrent, etc. Plus, that shouldn't be the issue. The issue is you said anywhere, anyone, anywhere, anytime. This is anyone, anywhere, anytime. And we have a serious debate set up for you. And the interesting thing about him saying, you know, you don't have enough views for this was like his YouTube channel at the time had like 12 subscribers and this incendiary video, which should have thousands of views just because of the nature of it, had like 76 views after 2 weeks. So for a guy who's on CNN and Fox, you know, I mean, nobody pays attention to this guy, so I would think he'd take up anybody who's got a serious venue for him.
Which is also why maybe we shouldn't feel very upset about this.
I'm not upset. We won.
We did, yeah, and that's what we need to remember.
So, but
But yeah, I mean, the market's already taken care of it. The video is so ridiculous that nobody of any seriousness except for Eric Don Darrow and his Libertarian Republican would ever post this video or blog about it. I guess we didn't even post the video or blog about it or put a link to it because we just think it's ridiculous.
I can't even find it now. I just searched John Berkman, Muslims or Savages.
Maybe he pulled it down.
Which was basically the name of it. Yeah. So
yeah.
F that guy.
Yeah.
You know, I can't prove this, but there is someone like with his name and building address for his, you know, like he's registered as some something. He has, I think it's a mail drop. So it doesn't necessarily mean it's him if it's at the same address, but there is some company that basically provides spy systems to governments, like, you know, like, oh, you want to put a camera on every corner in your Wyoming town? I'll do that for you for a fee of tax money. There's somebody,
a police state profiteer.
Yeah, there's somebody, exactly. There's somebody doing that who it looks like might be him, but I can't prove it because it's hidden who's really doing it. But if you search him, his name and what he's done, there is a lawyer with that name at that address. So I don't know if it's him or not, but.
Okay.
So I just sent you, I think this should be our closing comment here. We're at time. I added something to the glossary. It's tube-based economy, and I'd love you to read it.
Tube-based economy, a geographic location where people largely work with their hands for a living, like Wyoming, as opposed to a place where the economy is more information-based, like San Francisco. Term comes from Michael's observation that a lot of trucks you see on the roads in Wyoming are carrying some sort of tube for oil industry, water wells, windmill supports, electrical conduit, and similar uses. Also, a joke on the phrase, quote-unquote, a series of tubes, to describe the internet.
Yeah, which was kind of, that phrase was a description from some Republican Alaskan congressman who didn't know his ass from a hole in the ground as far as technology, who was like the internet czar under Bush, and I think into Obama, who died a while back and was like facing charges for like accepting bribes for you know, something to do with like voter fraud or election fraud or something. But you know, something we should talk about next time, I think, is Bushisms, because, you know, there was that big billboard that said it had George Bush and it was like 2 years into Obama's administration and said, "Do you miss me yet?" And I was thinking, like, no, you're just more of the same. But I kind of miss Bush because he said ridiculous shit, which I think is part of why Obama got elected and probably will again, because he doesn't say ridiculous shit accidentally. He says intentionally, he says insane stuff. But you know, Obama actually, you know, when people call the internet the internets, that was something George Bush came up with. He said that a couple times by accident, the internets.
Nice.
And there's a whole Bushisms page on Wikipedia, and I think we should just go through some of them and laugh at them. And
that's not a bad
Thursday's,
idea. You know, that makes me think, you know, Obama to me is like one of the most boring presidents in my lifetime, at least as far as material for making fun of him. Maybe it's just because I'm so different now in my political views, but I remember in the Bush years, it was a riot making fun of Bush, and the late night folks and everybody just had so much material.
Yeah.
And it was great. And before that, Clinton, oh man, Clinton was great. Seeing Daryl Hammond impersonate Clinton back in the day was,
you know,
was one of my favorite
things. Now they have to make fun of Biden. I mean,
Okay,
here's
when somebody like John Stewart rips on Obama, it's like horrifying. Like, he rips on him for you know, his warmongering, and he rips on him and he shows him saying the exact same language as Bush did when he's talking about,
but he's,
you know,
not doing that,
destroying Iran, but not in like a funny way, like in a this is horrible kind of way. I haven't seen Stewart in a while.
Should we go a little extra? Let's go a little extra and just read a couple Bushisms.
Sure.
Bush said, "For every fatal shooting, there were roughly three non-fatal shootings. And folks, this is unacceptable in America. And we're going to do something about it." What, we need more fatal shootings? I don't know.
Yeah.
I like this one. This one is kind of Freudian slip. I'm going to put people in my place, so when the history of this administration is written, at least there's an authoritarian voice saying exactly what happened. And I think he meant an authoritative voice, but I think he really meant an authoritarian voice, one that will do what he says.
Yeah. Well, I don't see it on this list, but wasn't there one that he was like, you know, our enemy will stop at nothing to hurt and harm the American people, and neither will we.
Yeah, yeah. I like this one where he mixes these two phrases. There's an old saying in Tennessee. This is him speaking in Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me, you won't get fooled again. Which is like mixing an old saying with like a Who song.
Well, no, it's like he stopped. Like, I actually used that as a sample on one of my very first rap songs where I was making fun of Bush. He sort of says, fool me once, shame on you, fool me. And then he pauses and he doesn't know what to say next. He's like, and then the next thing is like a completely independent thought. He's like, oh, you can't get fooled again. Like, that's how he finishes.
Which
it.
Is a line,
get fooled again.
Don't get fooled again. It's a Who song. It's used in the CSI Miami opening.
Okay. Maybe that was going through his head.
Which is, you know, he's the right age to have smoked a lot of pot and done a lot of coke and listened to the Who back in the day.
So I can see that. Yeah. Yeah.
I like it. He said in Brazil, do you have blacks too?
Yeah, I remember that. I used to have a calendar, like one of those daily flip calendars that were just Bushisms.
Oh,
yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah.
It was.
Rarely,
it was.
I like this one. Rarely is the question asked, is our children learning? Yeah.
Here's a good one. See, free nations are peaceful nations. Free nations don't attack each other. Free nations don't develop weapons of mass destruction. Which doesn't sound that funny, but basically then he's admitting that America isn't free, right? Because we attack nations all the time, and we not only develop weapons of mass destruction, but we sell them to people like Saddam Hussein.
Yeah. All right, we're over time here, but I just sent you one. Read the where he first coined the word internets.
Ah,
okay. Read both of them. They're both good.
Internets is a Bushism turned catchphrase used humorously to portray the speaker as ignorant about the internet or about technology in general. Or
go
as
down
having
to presidential usages. Just read them. They speak for themselves.
Ah, okay. So it wasn't just Bush, huh? All right.
Okay, Bush. We can have filters on internets where public money is spent. There ought to be filters in public libraries and filters in public schools. So if kids get on the internet, there's not going to be pornography and violence coming through.
Yes, that's a great question. Thanks. I hear there's rumors on the internets.
That we're going to have a draft. We're not going to have a draft, period. The all-volunteer army works. Yeah, and I'd say we did a whole episode on that, on the poverty draft.
Poverty
draft, which is they just ruin the economy to where you don't have much of a choice economically. All right. So everyone go vote because it's your patriotic duty, and the polls are still open for 6 more hours, so be sure and go vote because you have a choice and you have a voice.
That is so square.
I know.
Screw that. Stay home. Stay at work. Listen to the fiends. Make fun of people for voting. There you go. Stay home and make fun of Steve.
While it's still legal.
For voting.
While
it's
still legal, which it probably won't be next Monday. I really think he's going to win, and he's going to do something late Sunday night that we're going to learn about Monday afternoon or Tuesday that's going to be really, really tyrannical. That's my prediction.
I hope you're wrong, but I don't know if you will be. We'll see.
It might not be that specifically that day, but you know, within a couple weeks. But I'd say I'm guessing Sunday night. I don't know why. I just feel it.
Yeah, yeah. The second term is dangerous, man, because he can do whatever he wants.
I know.
He has
lame duck. All right. I've had a really good time with you today, and I want to.
Yeah, man.
Thank you for
good
that.
Cast.
All right.
Thank you.
Worms.
Peace.
No homo.
Love the fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiend's message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hello, Freedom Fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I own me and that includes endorphins. No one won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Every week, we'll have an exciting new episode where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi weave their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com, the Liberty Radio Network, and No Agenda Global Radio.
Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.